windows slid down, and the haze and steam from the window mixed with the exhaust to form a dragon's breath that surrounded the car.
"Everything okay here?"
said a cop inside. Shadow's first automatic instinct was to say,
"Yep, everything's just fine and Jim Dandy. Thank you, officer. Nothing's happening here. Move on. Nothing to see."
But it was too late for that, and he started to say,
"I think I'm freezing. I was walking into Lakeside to buy food and clothes, but I underestimated the length of the walk."
He was that far through the sentence in his head when he realized that all that had come out was
freezing
and a chattering noise, and he said,
"So sorry. Cold. Sorry."
The cop pulled open the back door of the car and said,
"You get in there this moment and warm yourself up, okay?"
Shadow climbed in gratefully, and he sat in the back and rubbed his hands together, trying not to worry about frostbitten toes. The cop got back in the driver's seat. Shadow stared at him through the metal grill. Shadow tried not to think about the last time he'd been in the back of a police car, or to notice that there were no door handles in the back, and to concentrate instead on rubbing life back into his hands. His face hurt, and his red fingers hurt, and now, in the warmth, his toes were starting to hurt once more. That was, Shadow figured, a good sign. The cop put the car in drive and moved off.
"You know, that was, if you pardon me saying so, a real stupid thing to do. You didn't hear any of the weather advisories? It's minus 30 out there. God alone knows what the wind chill is, minus 60, minus 70. Although I figure when you're down at minus 30, wind chill's the least of your worries."
"Thanks. Thanks for stopping. Very, very grateful."
"Woman in Rhinelander went out this morning to fill her bird feeder in a robe and carpet slippers, and she froze, literally froze, to the sidewalk. She's in intensive care now. It was on the radio this morning. You're new in town?"
It was almost a question, but the man knew the answer already.
"I came in the Greyhound last night. Figured today I'd buy myself some warm clothes, food, and a car. Wasn't expecting this cold."
"Yeah. It took me by surprise as well. I was too busy worrying about global warming. I'm Chad Mulligan. I'm the chief of police here in Lakeside."
"Mike Ainsell."
"Hi, Mike. Feeling any better?"
A little, yes."
"So where would you like me to take you first?"
Shadow put his hands down to the hot air stream, painful on his fingers, then he pulled them away. Let it happen in its own time.
"Can you just drop me off in the town center?"
"Wouldn't hear of it. Long as you don't need me to drive a getaway car for your bank robbery, I'll happily take you wherever you need to go. Think of it as the town welcome wagon."
"Where would you suggest we start?"
"You only moved in last night."
"That's right."
"You eaten breakfast yet?"
"Not yet."
"Well, that seems like a heck of a good starting place to me,"
said Mulligan. They were over the bridge now and entering the northwest side of the town.
"This is Main Street, and this,"
he said, crossing Main Street and turning right,
"is the town square."
Even in the winter, the town square was impressive, but Shadow knew that this place was meant to be seen in summer. It would be a riot of color, of poppies and irises and flowers of every kind, and the clump of birch trees in one corner would be a green and silver bower. Now it was a colorless place, beautiful in a skeletal way, the bandshell empty, the fountain turned off for the winter, the brownstone city hall capped by white snow.
"And this,"
concluded Chad Mulligan, bringing the car to a stop outside a high, glass-fronted old building on the west of the square,
"is Mabel's."
He got out of the car, opened the rear door for Shadow. The two men put their heads down against the cold and the wind and hurried across the sidewalk and into a warm room, fragrant with the smells of new-baked bread, of pastry and soup and bacon. The place was almost empty. Mulligan sat down at a table and Shadow sat opposite him. He suspected that Mulligan was doing this to get a feel for the stranger in town. Then again, the police chief might simply be what he appeared, friendly, helpful, good. A woman bustled over to their table, not fat, but big, a big woman in her 60s, her hair bottle bronze.
"Hello, Chad. You'll want a hot chocolate while you're thinking."
She handed them two laminated menus.
"No cream on the top, though,"
he agreed.
"Mabel knows me too well. What'll it be, pal?"
"Hot chocolate sounds great. And I'm happy to have the whipped cream on the top."
"That's good. Live dangerously, hun." Are you going to introduce me, Chad? Is this young man a new officer?
Not yet,
said Chad Mulligan with a flash of white teeth.
This is Mike Ainsel. He moved to Lakeside last night. Now, if you'll excuse me.
He got up, walked to the back of the room through the door marked Pointers. It was next to a door marked Setters.
You're the new man in the apartment up on Northridge Road, the old Pilsen place, oh yes,
she said happily.
I know just who you are. Hanselman was by this morning for his morning pasty. He told me all about you. You boys only having hot chocolate, or you want to look at the breakfast menu?
Breakfast for me. What's good?
Everything's good. I make it. But this is the furthest south and east of the UP you can get pasties, and they are particularly good. Warming and filling, too, my specialty.
Shadow had no idea what a pasty was, but he said that that would be fine, and in a few moments Mabel returned with a plate with what looked like a folded-over pie on it. The lower half was wrapped in a paper napkin. Shadow picked it up with the napkin and bit into it. It was warm and filled with meat, potatoes, carrots, onions.
First pasty I've ever had. It's real good.
They're a yuppie thing. Mostly you need to be at least up Ironwood way to get one. The Cornish men who came over to work the iron mines brought them over.
Yuppie?
Upper Peninsula. Yuppie. Yuppie. Where the Yuppers come from. It's the little chunk of Michigan to the northeast.
The chief of police came back. He picked up the hot chocolate and slurped it.
Mabel, are you forcing this nice young man to eat one of your pasties?
It's good,
said Shadow. It was, too. A savory delight wrapped in hot pastry.
They go straight to the belly,
said Chad Mulligan, patting his own stomach.
I warn you. Okay, so you need a car?
With his parka off, he was revealed as a lanky man with a round apple belly gut on him. He looked harassed and competent, more like an engineer than a cop. Shadow nodded, mouth full.
Right, I made some calls. Justin Leibowitz is selling his Jeep, wants $4,000 for it, will settle for $3,000. The Gunthers have had their Toyota 4Runner for sale for 8 months, ugly son of a bitch, but at this point they'd probably pay you to take it out of their driveway. And if you don't care about ugly, it's got to be a great deal. I used the phone in the men's room, left a message for Missy Gunther down at Lakeside Realty, but she wasn't in yet, probably getting her hair done down at Sheila's.
The pasty remained good as Shadow chewed his way through it. It was astonishingly filling.
Stick to your ribs, food,
as his mother would have said.
Sticks to your sides.
So,
said Chief of Police Chad Mulligan, wiping the hot chocolate foam from around his lips.
I figure we stop off next at Henning's Farm and Home Supplies, get you a real winter wardrobe. Swing by Dave's Finest Food so you can fill your larder, then I'll drop you up by Lakeside Realty. If you can put down $1,000 up front for the car, they'll be happy. Otherwise, $500 a month for 4 months should see them okay. It's an ugly car, like I said, but if the kid hadn't painted it purple, it'd be a $10,000 car. And reliable. And you'll need something like that to get around this winter, you ask me.
This is very good of you. But shouldn't you be out catching criminals, not helping newcomers? Not that I'm complaining, you understand?
Mabel chuckled.
We all tell him that.
Mulligan shrugged.
It's a good town. Not much trouble. You always get someone speeding within city limits, which is a good thing as traffic tickets pay my wages. Friday, Saturday nights, you get some jerk who gets drunk and beats on a spouse. And that one can go both ways, believe me, men and women. And I learned when I was on the force in Green Bay, I'd rather attend a bank robbery than a domestic in a big city. But out here, things are quiet. They call me out when someone's locked their keys in their vehicle. Barking dogs. Every year, there's a couple of high school kids caught with weed behind the bleachers. Biggest police case we've had here in 5 years was when Dan Schwartz got drunk and shot up his own trailer, and then he went on the run down Main Street in his wheelchair, waving this darn shotgun, shouting that he would shoot anyone who got in his way, that no one would stop him from getting to the interstate. I think he was on his way to Washington to shoot the president. I still laugh whenever I think of Dan heading down the interstate in that wheelchair of his, with the bumper sticker on the back. My juvenile delinquent is screwing your honor student. You remember, Mabel?
She nodded, lips pursed. She did not seem to find it as funny as Mulligan did.
What did you do?
I talked to him. He gave me the shotgun, slept it off down at the jail. Dan's not a bad guy. He was just drunk and upset.